Carrie Eldridge. She is the director of Franklin Williamson Bi-County Health and our guest this morning. Carrie, how are you, ma'am?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
Good. You know, I was kind of joshing with you of sorts. There's nothing more honest than humor in my book. Whenever I've said bad words every time I open the press release from Franklin Williamson County when I'm doing my homework in the afternoons, and I find out that the string of bad words has become longer and louder. You know, not the biggest numbers you've seen yesterday when I saw the new numbers, and that was 56 cases, 20 in Franklin, 36 in William. But you do understand my response and others when they see that number jump up, and you've had some big ones in your district.
We have had some big ones in our area. You know, sometimes if you can't find a laugh here and there, you know, you're going to cry over it because these numbers keep roller coastering up and down, and, you know, it's times like this where we just need to keep encouraging the local residents to keep practicing those prevention measures.
When I look at your active case numbers, I've lost track, but the last time I saw it was over 700 in those two counties.
Yes, absolutely. Again, you know, COVID is still in this area. We're going through our second wave, just like we talked about through the summertime. It is here. Flu season is getting ready to ramp up, so now it's more important than ever to practice these prevention measures, and now we have the holidays coming up as well.
How many are you tracking in the active category right now, Carrie?
Well, I don't have that exact number right now, but that number is fairly high.
It is around 700.
Yeah, it is most likely around 700, you know, and even and we've even experienced those that have that are done with their COVID-19. They start experiencing symptoms after their 10-day isolation period. So, you know, it's COVID again. It does different things to different people. So that's the other important thing to remember is it doesn't matter who you are, how healthy you are. COVID will, it just depends on how your body reacts to this virus.
How do you track that many people, though? The tracking is becoming an increasing issue, I know. People talking about using the app so you know where you've been and coming into contact and all the list goes. But how are you tracking this many people and potential contacts?
Well, everyone within the health department is a contact tracer. And with the software system that we have and all local health departments, people can choose to text their health assessment every day, email their health assessment, or receive a phone call every day. So it can make it a little bit easier on us to track the number of people that we are in the active case range, but it can be difficult when we have such a large number.
You know, and another issue has happened since you and I have had the opportunity to speak, and that is the businesses and the mitigation efforts as we were rolled back in the region, in Region 5. And enforcement has become an increasing issue. Where are you in that phase when it comes to tracking admissions and the desire for the Illinois Department of Public Health? They want you to out there really being enforcement. They said, you know, be brave. Go out there and tell people when they're breaking the rules. Where are you in your district when it comes to enforcement on these new mitigation efforts?
Well, our main goal right now is to educate. So when we, you know, when we go into the restaurants to do our everyday inspections, we are out there to educate the restaurant facilities and tell them why we have to do what we have to do. We have to follow. have to follow the governor's orders as well. And so we want to educate everyone. That's the purpose of us being a health department.
What are the restaurants said, Carrie, when you've talked to them about this? How have you been received when you say, look, we're trying to get you in the funnel here and awareness, what you need to do? How are these facilities relating to you and reacting to your messaging?
Well, most definitely, you know, not everyone is happy with that idea, which is absolutely normal. We understand what everyone is going through. But again, like I said, our main goal is to educate, make sure everyone is aware of the risk as far as the spread of the virus. and we just go from there.
You know, the numbers that I'm seeing from SIH, the highest number of COVID-19 inpatients to date, 30 total at Heron and Carbondale. I want to see the highest number to date. I think it's only by maybe two. I think the last highest number I saw was 28. So that's another aspect. You know, we talk about case positive numbers, and people say, yeah, but so many people don't have, you know, deadly symptoms. They just get sick for a few days and may feel very, very bad, tired longer, but they're not dying. Well, the hospitalizations are up too, and I think that's something that's important to remind people of as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, again, the virus is going to take upon someone's body in different measures, and whether you have an underlying health condition or not. Some people, you know, once they get that shortness of breath, you know, they can't breathe, and that's a lot of times that's what prompts those individuals to seek out the emergency department. And, you know, that could be a potential reason why that there's an increase in hospitalizations. And then they get that a deep mucusy kind of cough. And that's, you know, and for very good reasons, that's what scares people, and that's what encourages that trip to that emergency department and possible admission to a hospital.
You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, the state set a new record, 6,363 out of 83,056 tests. Many people say the reason these numbers up is because of testing. And then other people, including people on the COVID task force in D.C., saying it's not the testing. But the fact is, when it comes to trying to control our mitigation efforts here and get us back where we want to be and get some of these mitigations, get the restaurants back open more, mobile testing sites. Do you have a bunch of those open this weekend? What's the story, Franklin Williamson, on mobile testing sites to try to be able to get a better reading on percentages across the area?
Well, the current mobile testing site that's available in our area is the one in Mount Vernon, which is at the Aquatic Zoo. And that's going to be available until November 8th. That one's open until from 8 to 4. It's drive-through or walk-up. It is a state mobile testing site, so you can choose to bring your insurance card, but you don't have to bring your insurance card. It's free testing. It's important that, you know, testing is the key to decreasing the spread.
All right.
Go ahead,
Carrie. Testing is the key to
decreasing the spread. Yes, the sooner someone knows they are infected, they can isolate, they can prevent contact and potential spread to others. And this also starts the contact tracing process, so individuals, you know, who are close contacts to a potential positive case can be notified and self-quarantine, which can also prevent further spread.
Right. So this is a chain reaction is what you're trying to trying to interrupt a chain reaction.
Right.
All right, before I let you go, Halloween, kids want to go out, people have a tendency to party, they have a tendency to drink a little bit more, which also, of course, lightens up when it comes to their behavior and possible restraint. Got a lot of issues here, a lot of guidance coming down the pipes. What's your guidance? Carrie Eldridge joining us this morning, Franklin Williamson County Health Department Director. What about Halloween party and Halloween weekend? What's your advice there, Carrie?
Well, of course, we discourage Halloween parties because that's considered a social gathering. And that can spread the virus very easily. Trick-or-treating, using your social distancing measures, use your hand sanitizer. Trick-or-treating within your family unit, trick-or-treating is okay to do as long as you do it using these safety measures that we've been preaching since March. Use your social distancing, wash your hands, masking up, and wearing a regular Halloween mask does not take the place of wearing our regular cloth mask that we've been wearing for quite some time. So keep that in mind as well. But kids can go trick-or-treating, but again, use your social distancing. Remember that 6 feet. Don't congregate in areas when you're getting candy. Get the candy and move on. But your Halloween parties, you know, alcohol, drugs, they impair judgment and they can result in increased risky behaviors. So we want to prevent the spread of this virus. These numbers keep going up. We don't see them decreasing hardly at all, so we want to prevent this virus from spreading.